gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call of Apcotex Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. My name is Purvangi from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Apcotex Industries Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the second quarter and the first half of the financial year 2026. Before we begin, a quick cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's con call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now, I would like to introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for their opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Abhiraj Choksi, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Vivek Thakur, Chief Financial Officer. Without any delay, I would like to now hand over the call to Mr. Vivek Thakur for his opening remarks. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Purvangi. Good afternoon, everyone. It is a pleasure to welcome you all to the earnings conference call for the quarter and first half of the financial year 2026. I hope you all had the opportunity to review statements and earnings presentation has been circulated and uploaded on our website and also to the stock exchange. Let me provide you with a brief overview of the financial and operational highlights for the quarter and half year. I'll begin first with the quarter. So for the second quarter, our total volumes have increased by 11% and operating revenue stands at 337 crores. The revenue shows a decline of 4% year-on-year basis. This is due to overall fall in raw material and consequently lower realization in finished goods prices. Operating EBITDA for the quarter has increased significantly to INR 41 crores as compared to 28 crores in the same quarter last year. This represents a very strong year-on-year growth of 48%. This is driven by volume growth and margin expansion. The EBITDA margin stands at 12.06%. Profit after tax for the quarter is INR 25 crores. This is up 130 crores year on year with a PAT margin of 7.51%, which indicates strong profitability and operational efficiency. We are also happy to inform that the company has turned net cash positive as of 30th September 2025. This reflects strong cash generation and good financial discipline. During the quarter, Director General of Trade Remedies, DGTR, has issued final findings on anti-dumping duty, which was overall positive for the company. We are now awaiting the duty notification from the Finance Ministry. For half year FY26, the company achieved highest ever export volumes and overall volumes, which are up 18% year on year basis. Operating revenue shows an increase of 4% year on year to rupees 713 crores. Operating EBITDA has grown strongly at 34% year-on-year to INR 79 crores. The EBITDA margin is at 11.13%. This margin expansion is supported by volume growth, margin expansion and better capacity utilizations. PAT for the first half has increased by 73% to INR 45 crores and the PAT margin is 6.25%. During this period, company has achieved highest ever export volumes, which are up 31% year on year, and we have also reduced debt by approximately 53 crores. This demonstrates continued financial discipline and operational strength. The strong performance also reflects the effectiveness of our strategy, which is focused on volume-led growth, expanding our export and operational efficiency. We are also proud to share that the company has received the prestigious ICC Award, Acharya PC Ray Award for Development of Indigenous Technology. This reaffirms our commitment to innovation and self-reliance. Further, we would like to announce that the board of directors, they have reviewed and approved investments of 210 crores for capacity expansion at our Valia facility. The proposed capacity expansion is 37,000 metric ton per annum for synthetic latex and 14,600 metric ton per annum for nitrile rubber and allied products. These two capacity additions have a combined revenue potential of 550 to 600 crores. While synthetic latex, additional capacity will cater to additional domestic and export demand in construction, carpet, textile and paperboard applications. Increase in capacity for nitrile rubber and allied products will cater to demand in several specialized rubber product categories such as automobile, footwear, rice rolls, insulation and hoses. It is notable that we currently manufacture the synthetic latex at our Taloja facility and incremental capacity will be done at our Valia plant. Whereas nitrile rubber and allied products, current and additional facilities, additional capacities will be housed at our Valia facility. The total projected capital expenditure will be spread over next 6 to 7 quarters. This will be financed through debt and internal accruals, a mix of it. The additional production is anticipated to come on stream in a phased manner by Q1 of FY27. We believe that this investment will help us increase market share, enhance profitability, and strengthen our domestic and export footprint while delivering value to all our stakeholders. With this, now I open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Girik Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Good to see the great performance since now a couple of quarters. So first question is that just a clarification. So total volumes the growth in volumes year over year was it 18%? Did I hear it correctly?
Hi Dhaval, this is Abhiraj Choksi. Yes, it was 18% for the first half, H1.
18% for H1. Okay, got it. And how much did exports contribute to the quarter?
The quarter, it was about 31%, I think, 31-32%.
Okay, so is this a seasonality in the business where, so compared to Q1, export contribution was a little less this quarter? Is it the seasonality?
Maybe partially, but I think, quarter on quarter, sometimes that does happen. You get some large orders in one quarter, it goes up, but our endeavor is to, you know, be at around 35% and over time grow it to 45% or so over the next year or two. Plus minus every quarter can happen. Sometimes, like in this quarter, there are some orders that may come at a very low margin, which we have sort of let go with a real focus on improving margins this year, this likely is the last quarter. And therefore, if you see in the last quarter, the growth of volumes has been about 11%, lower than in Q1. So, you know, we try and balance out margins and volumes. So that may be the reason, but I won't read it too much into sort of quarter-on-quarter numbers, you know.
Okay, good noted. Now the announced expansion. So out of the two products where we are doing the expansion, can you help me understand the average realization of that basket would be how much would be how compared to your overall to the other two products? So we are expanding in this synthetic latex and the other product.
NBR,
rubber and allied products. Yes. So how its realization will be with the other products? So the what I want to understand is that so A we are doing so there'll be a 28% kind of volume increase on the capacity, and then in terms of realization also, how will this impact the P&L going forward? So like what will be the combined impact, value plus volume?
So overall, if I were to add both, the volume overall comes to, Vivek, correct me if I'm wrong, but about 51,000-52,000 tons, right? Both put together. And the overall revenue expectation, see, revenue is hard to predict because, like, just for example, in Q2, overall prices have, you know, fallen quite a bit for our raw materials, therefore our finished goods. But we expect about 550 to 600 crores, depending on what the price of the product is, so, or the products are, approximately in that range for this entire 52. So I think you would assume a little over 100 rupees, 110 or so. Is that what you were asking?
Yes. So that compared to the other two products, which is high styrene rubber and nitrile latex, so that realization, so this 110 is higher than the other two products?
The realization, see, the rubber products are typically double of the latex products. Now, that's the bottom line. Now, you know, typically, but sometimes it could be 2.2 times, 2.3 times. Hard to, honestly, it's not a relevant question if I were, from your point of view, I'm just trying to understand the relevance of the question maybe.
So same thing, like, I mean, you've given a revenue number, so it just answers that. I was just trying to understand that how much of total revenue increase it can happen. So, And last question, what will be the capex for this year, next year? So, this 210 crore will be spent in next two, three quarters?
No, as Vivek mentioned, it will be 6 quarters, actually.
Okay, so we are starting the plant in Q1 27.
Yes, which is 6 quarters from now.
Okay, so it will be calendar 27, you mean?
No, Q1 FY27. So it's calendar year. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, Q1. You're right. Vivek, can you? What you mentioned, but it's Q1 FY27-28 or Q2 FY27. Is that right, Vivek? Is that what you mentioned? Are you there, Vivek?
So which is April to June quarter of 27.
No, so that's FY27-28 though, right? I think that's what the distinction is.
Yeah, so then, so what we've written in the press release is Q1 27.
Okay. Yeah, so we plan by March, April 27, that's the target. So around, I think we should have been, yeah, careful of that. I think it's Q1
FY27-28. Yeah, FY20. If based and corrected, and I think we'll have to make that change.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks for pointing that out, Tapan.
So this year, how much are we spending in FY26, the current financial year, and how much are we going to spend in next financial year in terms of capex?
Yeah, so there are two parts to this CapEx. So obviously the 210 crores is the expansion projects, but there will be other CapEx projects as well related to, you know, for example, we are going to invest in perhaps some solar projects, some cost-saving projects, maintenance CapEx. So that will be in addition to that. So overall, I think this year we expect a total CapEx of about 65 crores, out of which probably about 20 to 25 crores will be for the expansion projects. And the remaining would happen in the following year and perhaps spill over into FY 2027-28 as well.
Okay. Got it. And you'll take around 2 years to utilize the expanded capacity, or 3 years? What's your assumption?
Yeah, I mean, based somewhere between, you know, I would say 3 years after it comes on board. Comes on stream. That's our plan.
Okay. Good luck. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rudraksh Raheja from iThought Financial Consultancy. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I wanted to understand more on the gross margin side. We have seen a very healthy improvement. It's one of the best in like last 6-7 quarters, I would say.
Yes. So, sorry, what's the question?
The gross margin improvement we have seen in this quarter. What contributed to that?
Right. So, combination of a few things. One is, you know, as our capacity, well, two things. One, I would say main is that the chemical industry had a couple of good years post-COVID, you know, in 22, 23, even FY 21. And 24 onwards was more challenging because a lot of capacity was added worldwide for, you know, a lot of products. We added capacity. Now, as the capacity utilization is going up, especially for us, I don't know about the rest of the industry, but also for the rest of the industry, but definitely healthy for us. We are at above 80% on average for all our products, in some cases even close to 100%. So that really helps in sort of, you know, improvement of margins. And the other word, overall the market and the scenario worldwide has improved for the chemical industry is what I feel. Obviously, notwithstanding the current tariff issue and the uncertainty around that stuff, that the tariffs and some geopolitical tensions that still remain, other than that, you know, things have improved, I feel, in terms of capacity utilization for the chemical industry. Of course, there are some pockets of the chemical industry that are still not doing so well, and some that are doing better. In our case, I think things have been better this year in terms of margins, or at least in the last quarter, but I would say in the last 6 months than they were in the previous few quarters, as you said.
Okay. So did we see any pricing improvement in the nitrile latex front? Was that the main reason
That is one of the reasons. I would say more than pricing improvement, I would say a little bit of margin improvement. As our capacity utilization went up, we have, you know, got some more approvals. We are able to build a margin on that better than it was in the last 1 year for sure, and the previous year, financial year for sure. But I think it's still some ways to go. That market still remains challenging, although it's easier now than it was last year. And that is definitely been a factor.
Sure. And sir, for H1, what would be the contribution from different product segments? Like, you give us a split of how much does nitrile latex contribute and the rubber segment, etc. Could you give us that?
So overall, the contribution still remains at about 30-70. Rubber is 30%. For the quarter, I don't have H1 numbers, but it should be similar. So, for example, for the quarter, it's 30-70. And in terms of contribution of the segments, I guess in terms of latex, out of the 70, you know, paper and construction would be about 16 to 18%. Carpet textiles put together is a little lower this time, is 11-12%. Nitrile latex again would be about 15-16%. Tire cord would be about 10%, and the remaining 30% is all rubber.
Got it. And capacity utilization for the segment?
I think all our plants were running at above 80%. I think for our sort of synthetic latex, Taloja plant would be at about 80%. Nitrile latex would be about the same. And NBR and all are 95%. NBR is at 95%. NBR and allied products. So, yeah. Almost full capacity, I would say.
Got it. Got it. And one thing more on the global market side, could you guess on what would be the industrial capacity utilization in nitrile latex market?
Honestly, hard to say, but it's still fairly low from what I mean, it's improved for sure, but it's because there's no new capacity that's been added in the last couple of years. But it's still not very healthy, which I consider, you know, to be at least 80% and above, and it's below that. I don't have an exact number right now.
Got it. And sir, getting a little bit more clarity on this NBR front, historically what you have said that we require a duty, a significant duty to get the advantage. Last time I think duty was passed and the number was quite low. But this time the number that the government of India has written in their document, is that sufficient for us to recover margins in that segment?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been a mixed bag. First of all, the duties have still not been notified. The finance ministry still needs to notify those duties. Right now, it's just a recommendation from DGTR, which is under the Commerce Ministry. So I would say it's been a mixed bag for us in the sense that, you know, for most of the imports, we will have a reasonably good duty for which we are happy with. But for one particular manufacturer, there is zero duty. So we'll have to see how the market plays out, and we'll see. But first, we're just waiting for the notification from the finance ministry, which has not yet come. After that, we can sort of see how things play out.
And sir, do we have any expectations?
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Rudraksh. May we request you to join the question queue again, as there are other participants waiting for their turn.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Farooq Pandole from Avastha Fund Management. Please proceed.
Hi, Abhiraj. Good to see the strong numbers, especially the good margin recovery. In that, we just wanted to check on the nitrile latex. Since we had, at the time we had done our expansion, we had also made provision for a second leg of expansion, which would be at a far lower cost. Is that something we would also consider, given you have now said that we are at 80% capacity over there as well? And I'm presuming there is some modicum of profitability now as opposed to the loss levels we were seeing for many quarters.
Hi, Farooq. Yeah, so it's definitely on the cards, although that's not what's been approved yesterday in the board meeting. We're keeping it on the cards and we will see when to do that. The issue is with margins are still not healthy enough to justify additional capacity when there's already enough excess capacity worldwide, or at least in Asia, not worldwide, it's mostly in Asia. So as of now, that's not on the cards, but yes, it's something that we will keep considering, and we will see how it goes every few months. And depending on where the industry is, as I was explaining to the previous caller, we feel that there has been an improvement in the industry in the last few months. We just want to ensure that margins go back to the levels that, you know, we had set out at the beginning before the first project was initiated. So once that happens, we'll certainly consider that.
Right. And on the NBR, how long do we think before we actually see this notification? And
on the anti-dumping, yeah.
Yes.
Generally, so we expect by before December end.
Before, okay, so in this calendar year. And,
yes.
So am I right in saying that it is the June quarter of 2027 wherein we start seeing the addition of capacity, right?
That's correct. No, but, you know, look, there'll be some addition. So This entire 210 crore expansion is actually a series of 4 or 5 sub projects. So some of the stuff will start maybe even before that, by June, July of next year. Minor sort of some debottlenecking and things that we're doing that will come in June, July. Some other things will come in December of 26. And then large majority of the expansion would be completed in, around that time between March and May of 27.
Okay, so we will complete the expansion by 27. It's not that the expansions will start commencing from 27.
That's correct. But a large chunk of this, I would say 80%, would come towards the end. But there are certain debottlenecking projects that would start a little bit before that for NBR.
Sure. And
yeah.
In NBR, in the past, I think we mentioned that it would have been good to ideally have had a larger capacity to, in the sense of competing with other NBR capacities globally. So is this sufficient in terms of overall size to extract, synergies and scale benefits, etc., like you have seen in some of the other products?
Yeah, absolutely. Even with the expanded capacity, I think we would now be a mid-sized player in the global scenario. So our total NBR and allied products capacity would be around 35,000-36,000 tons after we're done with this. And just to give you a flavor, there are smaller plants around that size, 30,000-50,000 tons. But the largest plants are around 90,000-100,000 tons. So we're still below what I would say is the largest capacity, but we would certainly be reasonably global size, at least as a medium-sized plant is concerned. And it will definitely help with overall, economies of scale.
Great. And lastly, is there, similar to the earlier expansion, is there any sort of slack being built in for, if let's assume hopefully that this investment will be better timed than the last investment and we will have that in our favor. If that were to be the case, to expand capacity to the next level, are we making provision for that, or will that have to be done in a step function?
So NBR, it will have to be done in a step function, but for the synthetic latex, yes, we are making certain provisions now for future as well.
Great. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you, Farooq.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Shroff from QRC Investment. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, Abhiraj, and congratulations on a great set of numbers. Yes, you partly answered my question, but if you could maybe elaborate. So my concern really was that with NBR running at full capacity and 80% across latex, both in Taloja and Valia, we could potentially hit a volume air pocket sometime, maybe this time next year, if we continue on this 15-18% kind of volume growth. So if it's not possible on this call, maybe next call, if you could just sort of help us understand how the volume and the capacity ramps up from, let's say, June quarter of FY27, like you mentioned, that it's coming up in phases. I think that would just be helpful to understand where things go. And on the anti-dumping,
you are right, that could happen for a quarter or two, but our sense is that we would have enough capacity, and there are other options possible in the short term, like outsourcing certain products and so on, which obviously is not ideal because that reduces the margin, but that's something we could do for the short term. We think we have enough capacity for next year. There might be a situation where, I'm talking about for the latex products, yeah? For rubber, NBR, we are already at almost full capacity, so you're right, there we have already hit, and for the next year or so, we will, about three quarters, we will hit a situation where we can't grow further than this. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, so I mean, in the past, I guess we've managed to juice this facility with significant debottlenecking, but I think you mentioned that by 21, we are pretty much as tight as we could run this ship. So that I appreciate. Is it fair to say that as and when this duty gets implemented by the finance ministry and gets notified as such, is there a significant boost to our margins, at least on the rubber side, based on this? I'm just trying to understand What does this mean for us? Given we don't have the capacity, does it improve our realization in a significant manner?
You know, that's what it was supposed to do, but unfortunately, as I mentioned to one of the previous callers, that it's been a mixed bag for us in terms of the recommendation. We'll see what the final findings that are notified by the finance ministry. But one of the manufacturers, one of the importers have not been levied any anti-dumping duty. So, you know, so we don't know if margins will really improve. Of course, I think it will help us because, you know, from Russia, from China, you know, reasonably good anti-dumping duties have been levied. So overall, we feel that's a fair thing for us to compete in India, and we'll see how that impacts the margins. But all these expansions or all our workings that we have done are based on zero anti-dumping duty and sort of, you know, assuming margins at current levels without anti-dumping duty. So I think even without that, it's justifiable, and we worked out a fairly innovative way. Earlier, our thinking was that only for NBR we'd need a 200 to 225 crore expansion. But here, with around 210 crores, we've been able to do NBR and synthetic latex, you know, both. So we're quite confident that with or without anti-dumping, you know, we are going to go ahead with this expansion.
So that's a big statement from you, because I guess we've, for about 6 quarters, been waiting for this anti-dumping duty, and you said once you have clarity on that, only then will you do NBR. And now, so obviously significant work has happened for you to commit to this amount of capex with or without the anti-dumping.
We were waiting for that, and as I said, it's been a mixed bag. Had it been, you know, something which was absolutely negative, we may have even considered, but we were ready with these numbers for the last quarter or two, I would say. But we were just waiting for the recommendation. In fact, ideally, you know, we maybe should have waited till the December quarter. This is a December-Jan period, but I think right now we feel pretty confident to go ahead with this.
Got it. And finally, margins back to sort of low double digits. Our aspirations always been closer to mid. Is that sort of path clearer now with demand, as you see, I guess, nitrile latex aside? Are we sort of on the right track there?
Yeah, I think nitrile latex aside, we are already in the mid double digits. In this quarter, so if you don't include nitrile latex, with nitrile latex is still pulling it down a little bit, but as nitrile latex improves over the next few quarters, I think that will also help. And the one challenge though that remains right now is, you know, we have seen our business and margins in certain industry segments affected because of US tariffs, not directly but indirectly. Some of our customers in textiles, in technical textiles, in the tire industry, in carpet, their exports have been affected, especially to the US. So, you know, so there are challenges in pockets, but we're hoping that it'll sort itself out in the next 2-3 months as far as the tariffs are concerned, and nitrile latex will improve. So, yeah, I think we should see some improvement, or not improvement, but continued reasonable margins in the next few quarters as well.
Okay, that's great to hear, because exactly my question was about that only, that carpets have taken a big hit from
sure.
India especially. So if that has to come back, we would benefit from it.
Sorry? Yeah, if that cycle comes back, we would benefit. Sure, yeah, absolutely.
And I guess 80% utilization is also kind of the level where a significant amount of operating leverage starts to kick in as you go from 80 to 85, or is that number closer to 90 for you to be optimal on the plants?
No, frankly, operating leverage at every 5-10% higher, you know, it increases. So that will increase from 80 to 90, 90 to 100. The one thing that, more than operating leverage, I think it gives us the confidence to say no to certain orders, you know, which are very low margins or customers that, you know, we just, or payments are very delayed, those kinds of things. I think that's where the really advantage is, and that's where sometimes, you know, margin can be bumped up by a percentage or two.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much, and all the best. And great show on the cash generation as well this quarter. That's really heartening to see in a tough time.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Rudraksh Naheja from iThought Financial Consulting. Please proceed.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again, sir.
Sure.
Sir, could you give us more details on this synthetic latex expansion? Like, for what applications are we expanding this time?
Sure, the same application. So we have about 100,000 ton, or actually I would say without, about 90,000 ton plant for the synthetic latex production. The two main products we make there are styrene butadiene latex and styrene acrylic latexes. And we, and that's where I said we are close to 80% capacity utilization there. It would be for similar carpet construction, paper, textiles, and there are a lot of specialty applications as well that we are now focusing on, a few specialty applications that we're now focusing on. So it would be for similar products. It's just that instead of Taloja, we are doing it in Valia. One is to de-risk from Taloja, which has become a large site for synthetic latex and, you know, globally, I would say globally comparable site. So we just wanted to manufacture this product at another site, and we have enough, you know, space and buildings and all that in Valia, so we decided to do it in Valia. Whereas for the NBR, we need the economies of scale at the same plant. We're still below optimal sort of global capacity, which is what I mentioned to one of the previous callers. So there we are continuing in Valia. So the entire, the next 16 months, 18 months, focus on expansion is going to be in Valia, Gujarat.
Got it, sir. Sir, I think last time when we expanded in paper, some other player also expanded at the same time, and this led to some sort of lower prices in the market. And again, we have announced our capex in synthetic latex, and another listed player in this space has also announced capex in the latex segment. So how do you see this playing out in the future and affecting our margins and all?
I'm not sure who you're referring to, but look, I mean, there's always cycles. I think what happened post-COVID was not just in India, but globally, everyone also added latex. So while we don't compete globally, you know, I think it does affect the, there's always an option, right, for people to go abroad. And I think it's, I think if that does happen, depending on the timing, and I'm not aware of the timing and who you're referring to specifically, but I don't think it's going to be like what happened post-COVID, where if you remember what happened in COVID is between 20 and 21, there was, everything was shut, right? There was nobody expanding. In fact, people were not going out of the house. So, and then suddenly the demand picked up very quickly because people were sitting at home and ordering goods. So manufacturing demand picked up. So that was a very unique case. And in that euphoria, I think a lot of capacity expansion worldwide in India happened with large numbers. This time we are increasing capacity by about 35-40%. I would say about 35-40%. Last time I think we had, our percentage expansion was much larger, and it was as it was for the other player. So we'll have to see whether, you know, that's a cycle that will play out. We have decided that we, you know, we have certain strengths in this segment, and we're going to go ahead no matter what everyone else is doing. And sure, a couple of quarters then, at that point, margins may be affected. We'll see. We'll have to deal with it.
Understood, sir.
But I must also mention that who you're referring to, there may be others that have entered, but we believe that the technology that, and the next level of technology is going to be even sort of the next generation technology, better than what we have today. I think we're quite confident that what we're doing in the synthetic latex segment now, going forward, will be revolutionary for India. It's never been seen in India. And the productivity, the cost, the quality, all of it will be at a different scale. So we're quite confident that we'll not only compete this time, but we'll have significantly better products at perhaps a little lower cost as well.
Are we entering more sort of specialized segments that are margin accretive than what we have done previously?
We will be, but obviously if we're investing at a 37,000 ton capacity, it cannot only be for specialized segments. We would need the segments which provide the volumes as well.
Got it, sir. And, I think you have mentioned this number. I'm repeating this. With this sort of capex, what would be the revenue potential that would unlock?
About 550 to 600 crores.
Got it. And, sir, assuming at this point of time there is no pricing improvement in any of our segments,
what is the peak revenue that we can do with existing capacity?
So, I mean, I know we had worked it out last year and it was about 1,600-1,700 crores. I think it would, obviously, now in the current context, prices are very depressed, but in this Q2, but, you know, that kind of will, at some point, it will start going up again. But I'm assuming around the same, probably 1,600-1,700, yeah.
Sure. Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arun Arora from NB Investment. Please proceed.
Good evening. Congratulations on the good performance.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Arora.
I had two questions. One is regarding the ad. Last time it so happened, in spite DGTR recommending for this ad, Finance Ministry, you know, did not, you know, issued a circular, you know, imposing that. So is there any possibility that it can be repeated again this time also?
Yes, that can be a possibility, but from what we understand, what's happening through our lawyers and basically watching, that, you know, in that period of 2020-21, I think the percentage of cases that were not being notified were much higher, and now it's like, you know, 1 out of 20 or, you know, I mean, much lower. So there's a higher level of confidence, and that's the reason why we again applied for anti-dumping, because we saw that there seems to be now some kind of alignment, and we feel that majority of cases are now being notified. However, as you said, that always remains a risk, but the risk is low from what we understand on what we've been advised.
Okay, good. My second question is, almost a year back or so, when some participant had asked, you know, for the future capacity expansion, you had mentioned that we do not have space except for that nitrile latex, the additional 50,000 capacity or so. You may have to venture out for a new land or so. So I was getting a little bit confused. So Valia we are doing and Taloja, so is it being done in the existing plant sites only?
Yeah, it's been done in the existing plant site at Valia. So maybe there was some misunderstanding, but in Taloja, yes, we are tight on space. We can perhaps do a few things as well there, but as of now, our decision is to do the entire expansion in Valia, and obviously we are utilizing some current buildings that have already been built, and we are going to build some additional structures as well for this expansion. So we do have space in Valia.
Okay. So after this expansion, plus the 50,000 that space, what is there for the nitrile latex, do we have still some more space left, or we are done with the all whatever the remaining space?
No, we will have some more space left.
Some more space. Okay. So yeah. Lastly, regarding nitrile latex margins, now that we are at 80%, is it fair to assume that in the coming quarters, the margins would slowly and steadily would keep going up?
Difficult to assume that. I don't know. The answer is we don't know. No one can exactly predict the future. But if at least we hope it remains stable, and perhaps over time as capacity utilization globally or in Asia goes up, that it should technically happen, because nitrile latex margins are still much lower than what they were pre-COVID. So technically it should go up. I don't know when.
Okay, so for you to start this this second phase of the CapEx, are you looking at the improvement in the margins or the increase in the capacity utilization?
Well, look, we should be selling product is not a problem, because at a price, you know, you can sell anything, right? So it's not more about the volumes, but sure, now our capacity utilization is already at 80%. We can go up to 100 immediately if we just give a little bit more discount and all, but we are trying to balance between pricing, margins and volumes, you know. So it's more about the market than internal at this stage.
So, what you are trying to say is the improvement in the margins only will make you to go for the phase 2 CapEx.
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you, Mr. Arora.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manav Vijay from MV Investment. Please proceed.
Yes, sir. So thank you very much for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is regarding the expansion that you are doing. Now, you just mentioned to the last caller that even after doing this expansion, you will have some space left in Valia. So are we in the process of, let's say, figuring out even a third piece of land so that as and when we take the decision to expand further, we will have land available?
I think we have land available in Valia even now. We obviously will explore, but I think the decision is, or not decision, but the thinking is that, you know, until we have a clear idea on what we want to do with the land, we would not be purchasing it. I think we have a reasonable amount of land in Valia where we can further expand if we so choose to, but it depends on what product. So if it's in the same products like latex and all, I think we have enough land in Valia. But if it's completely something different, then we may look at a third site. You know, as of now, there is no decision on that, but yeah, we're always on the lookout.
Sure. Okay. Sir, the second question is regarding the raw material price decline that we are witnessing now for last three quarters. So I believe that actually quarter four we had a 3% price decline, quarter one we had 13%, and in this quarter we had roughly 15% kind of a price decline. Now, this three quarters continuously is a slightly, I would say, longer period. So, in history, have you seen such a long period of price decline continuously happening? If you can elaborate on that.
Yeah, I think so. You know, there have been, I think in the last 20 years, there have been three or four periods like this, not very uncommon. Of course, doesn't happen all the time, but not very uncommon. We saw it during at least for three quarters during the COVID period, you know, from Jan to March, and then after that as well for a couple of quarters, and then it started moving up again quickly. We saw it in 2009-10, I think in between as well in 2014-15, suddenly prices had gone up and then it came down. So three quarters, sometimes four quarters is not uncommon. It's not common, but it's not uncommon either. Every 4-5 years this does happen, but as I said, look, I mean, we are okay with that. You know, sometimes it does help us. This price decrease is good for us in terms of, for example, one of the reasons why our working capital management is better, right, because of lower prices. So that's helped. At the same time, we probably have had some stock losses because, you know, we bought at a higher rate. And in spite of that, margins have been reasonably okay. We've been able to manage that. It's not so much of a concern. Any specific reason why you're asking this question?
No, sir. So for the simple reason, actually, actually, since our sales to an extent is also dependent on the price growth as well. So while we have been, let's say, getting a good volume growth, so along with that, if we had pricing growth as well, then the bump up in margins would have been much better. That's why I'm asking that I would say three continuous quarters of price decline.
Actually, margins and revenues are two different things, right? So we can still hold on to the margins even if prices are declining or going up. I'm talking about margins on an absolute level, not on a percentage level. So in fact, when prices decline, our margins on a percentage level sometimes seem better, you know, are good, because we try and hold on to the absolute margins. Sometimes it doesn't happen. We have to also reduce our absolute margins. And vice versa, sometimes when prices go up dramatically, we're not able to increase percentage margin at the same pace. But absolute margins, we are at least able to increase, and therefore our EBITDA margins, so EBITDA margins for us is the key, not so much contribution margin, you know.
Sure. Okay, sir, my next question is regarding the working capital. So in this quarter, in our cash flow from operations, we had 61 crores coming in from receivables, which I believe is the best that you have done in last few many years. So any specific reason because of which you could receive so much of money from the customers?
No specific reason. I must commend my sales team. They're doing a good job.
One of the reason is because of the lower price at which the finished goods are being sold. So that is one of the reason why in absolute value the receivables are much lesser if you see the number of days, there also is an improvement, but absolute value what comparing is because of largely because of the lower FG prices.
Because so because the very fact that so actually so in this quarter you have turned a net cash positive, and this 61 crores has helped you a lot to turn actually cash flow positive. That's why I'm asking. So what is the so what you believe is the probability of continuity of this huge cash flow generation? Like you have done 107 crores in this quarter, so I would say in H1, which you have never done. In the, so
sorry, I'm not. How have you calculated this number of 107? What is that?
Sir, so in this H1, you have generated 107 crores of actually cash flow from operations that you have never done in last 15 years of history. So I was just trying to figure out whether this number is actually abnormal, or this is what, let's say, the business should look like even going forward, because now the business dynamics are turning in your favor.
So I think, you know, as Vivek mentioned, that the reduction in prices of raw materials has definitely helped us in this. So in that sense, yes, it is, I mean, if prices go up, suddenly our working capital requirement also will go up, right? If prices, let's say from now, they were to climb by 30%, 40%, our working capital requirement also would also climb that much. So certainly that has helped us, yeah.
Sure. Okay. This is helpful, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Vivek, I hope I've answered Manav's question okay.
Yes, that's correct. And just to also clarify, a large portion of 107 crores is from profits, which is EBITDA, which is come back into the kitty, so the internal accruals, and about 20 crores, which is released from working capital on a net basis.
Yes, correct. Thank
you.
Yeah,
so that 20 crores is what you would say is like a little bit of a bump, right? We've had. Is that right? Sorry, I'm asking the question in our own conference call. Sorry.
No, sir. No. So I think
hey,
I think.
Sorry,
so, I think the mood point is that the cash flow operations are actually fantastic in this year first half. Does it help you to actually turn cash positive, which in turn should help you to have cash for the upcoming CapEx, sir?
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you, Manav.
Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit from Adezi Ventures Family Office. Please proceed.
Hi, good afternoon, and congratulations on the good set of numbers. I joined the call a little late, so apologies if this is slightly a repeat, but I just wanted to understand currently what is the ongoing status of the ADD, and when are we anticipating that this might kind of come to fruition, if we have any estimates?
Can you repeat the last part of your question? What is the current status of ADD, I understood? What is the second part of the question?
Yeah, and when do we anticipate, if we have any estimates, when this might come to fruition?
So I'd mentioned to one of the previous callers that as of now, the DGTR has recommended through their final findings anti-dumping duties on certain countries and certain companies. One company or one importer has not been subjected to any anti-dumping duty. The rest have been subjected to a reasonable anti-dumping duty. We expect that we are told that the finance ministry typically notifies within 3 months of the final findings. So we expect by December end.
Okay, right. Thanks a lot. That's helpful. And usually, I mean, what kind of, if something like this has happened in the past, what kind of impact can you expect on pricing and margins from something like this coming through?
As I said, it's been a mixed bag, so we're not quite certain how the market will play out. Because one of the big importers has not been subjected to any anti-dumping, so that will continue as it is. The rest, we'll see how it plays out. But we'll, you know, instead of speculating and seeing, let us first finally see what you know the final notification says, because there can be changes there as well, and then we'll comment on it. And honestly, we'll have to also just see what happens in the market, because we're not the only player in the market, right? So there are many things that other players can also do. in terms of pricing. Right. So we'll have to see how that impacts. As of now, our plans, our expansion plans, all our projections are based on no real benefit or bonus from this anti-dumping duty. That, you know, we had asked for because we are the only manufacturer of NBR in India. We are subscale in terms of global production, and we wanted some help from the government for a short period of time of 5 years to be able to invest and recoup our money and make reasonable margins and profits and returns on our investment. So we have found an innovative way to do that, at least for another 14,000-15,000 tons. But after that, we'll see. And we could do that because we have a brownfield. It's a brownfield expansion. Had it been a greenfield, then we would definitely have not been able to do it with the current margins. There would not be any justification for additional capex.
And this one person who is not being subjected to the DGTR, what percentage of the imports or the market would they contribute? Should we have any estimates?
I'm not sure, but a large percentage, 30-35% perhaps, 30% at least, of the Indian market.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I'm Vishokul.
Thanks.
Thank you. That was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much for joining our Q2 investor and analyst conference. We look forward to seeing you all in Q3 and updating you on any other major further updates. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Apoptix Industries, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.